From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. About a half hour northeast of Sacramento, along Highway 50, is the city of Folsom. It's one of the fastest growing cities in all of California and has long been known as a tech hub, thanks largely to the presence of the computer chip maker Intel. But there's been some major changes on that front. Last month, Intel announced it's laying off hundreds of employees at its Folsom offices. That comes on top of hundreds of additional layoffs announced earlier this year, and the company is also looking to sell and lease back its Folsom campus. This comes at a time when the city is working to diversify its economy and community as more people choose to call it home. Joining us now to take stock of these changes is Folsom Mayor Sarah Aquino. She also represents the city's 3rd District. Mayor Aquino, welcome to Insight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mayor, before we get into the business in the city of Folsom, tell us a little bit about yourself and your connection to the city.
So I have lived in Sacramento County since 1976 when I was 4 years old. My family moved from San Diego to Fair Oaks, and I have not left the county. I am a life and health insurance broker in my day job. I spent 4 years on the Folsom Cordova School Board, and then I was elected to the city council in 2018 and reelected in 2022.
You have a deep, deep connection to the community, it sounds like, from your background.
Yep.
What made you decide to enter public office?
Well, I've always had an interest. My father also served in elected office in this region for 22 years, so I was exposed to it from a pretty young age. I'd rather, roll up my sleeves and do something than complain. So,
right. Well, and you've had a number of roles on the council, everything from council member, of course, to vice mayor to mayor. Tell us a little bit how those different roles change or guide your leadership, depending on which one you're wearing at the moment.
I think I approach things the same, regardless of whether I'm the mayor that particular year or not. The city of Folsom will celebrate 80 years of cityhood next April. Up until 2022, council members were elected at large or citywide. And we are a charter city, and our charter says that the council shall select the mayor and the vice mayor every year. In 2022, we were forced, as many cities and school districts are, to move to by-district elections. So starting in 2022, we had a public process whereby we divided the city into 5 districts, roughly equal size population-wise. So I represent District 3, which includes all of the new growth happening in the city. And then again, still every December, we choose the mayor and the vice mayor. And I would say it's more work. It's busier when you're the mayor. But just the way I approach the job is the same no matter what.
Well, Mayor, let's talk about some of the big news in your community. Of course, last month, the computer chip manufacturer Intel announced another large round of layoffs from its facility in Folsom, almost 600 people over 3 weeks. And of course, that's on top of the 300 positions cut over the past year. The company's looking to sell and lease back its campus in the city. Tell us, did these moves come as a surprise to you?
No, we're in regular contact with the folks at Intel. They have been and continue to be a fantastic community partner. And so we really value that relationship. We make sure to stay in regular contact with them. Obviously, you mentioned the layoffs and the sale of the campus. Those are things that we are monitoring very closely. I think in terms of the layoffs, they need to do what they need to do to kind of right-size their organization, and we respect that. I think the most important thing is that we want to retain that talent, if not in Folsom, certainly in the region. In the last couple of years, Folsom welcomed Qualcomm and Samsung, and both of them said the reason they chose to open offices in Folsom was because of the very deep talent pool, and we can contribute that to Intel. And so, thankfully now, Iron Point Road in Folsom and really along the Highway 50 corridor from El Dorado Hills down to Rancho Cordova is really becoming kind of a semiconductor corridor. And so hopefully as those folks get laid off, they are you know, joining Micron, Qualcomm, Samsung, Solidigm. I mean, there are lots of options, or even, you know, their own startup. And so that is the most important thing, is that we retain that local talent.
Well, when it comes to Intel, I think what I'm hearing you say is it's played a really important role, not just for the jobs that it has at its offices, but in maybe influencing other companies to start up in your community. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, Intel employees are well educated. They know the market. They just have a lot to offer. And so, as long as we can retain that local talent here, I think we'll be in good shape. The other thing that's kind of interesting that we're watching, Intel employees have been directed to be back on campus in Folsom 4 days a week starting September 1st. And so, that will be good for the surrounding businesses, the coffee shops, the restaurants, the gas stations. We are looking forward to having, that activity back on campus.
One more question on the Intel layoffs. I know you said that you're hoping that either the community or the region can retain some of this talent, but what's the specific impact when you do have hundreds of people laid off from a company in your city? I mean, how is that going to affect Folsom economically?
Well, certainly it could have an effect, on the real estate market. But actually, with the realtors that I've talked to, it isn't so much the layoffs from Intel that are affecting the real estate market. It's really the fact that during the pandemic, employees, a lot of them from the Bay Area, moved to this region thinking that they could work from home, indefinitely. And now, not just in the technology sector, but all kinds of sectors, a lot of those folks are being called back to work in the office 2 to 3 times a week. And so we are seeing people who they don't want to make that commute to the Bay Area. And so they're going to be putting their house up for sale here in Folsom or in the region. And so I think that may have the potential to have more of an impact on us. But again, counteracting that is Intel employees back on the Folsom campus 4 days a week. So we'll have to see how it all shakes out.
Mayor, there's of course more than just tech in Folsom. What other kinds of development are taking place in your city? How is the city diversifying?
Well, Folsom is becoming quite a healthcare hub. We have all four major health systems currently building or with plans to build in the very near future. Next Friday, we will be having a ribbon cutting along with UC Davis for their new medical office building in Folsom Ranch, which is just south of Highway 50, where the new growth is occurring. Across the street from them, probably in September, Dignity Health will be breaking ground on their medical office building in Folsom Ranch. And then back on the other side of the freeway, on the north side, Sutter Health broke ground on a medical office building a couple months ago. And Kaiser owns the property behind the Palladio, and they have plans for what they call a comprehensive care center. So no new hospital at the moment, but lots of medical office buildings, outpatient surgery, infusion centers, just a lot of good healthcare access, which is really important not only to our residents, but I think to the region. But specifically for Folsom residents, it's really the gift of time that you can get the services you need without having to travel to Roseville or to Sacramento, I think is really, really important.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Folsom Mayor Sarah Aquino. Mayor, the population of Folsom, as you know, it's been increasing. The city's one of the fastest growing in the state. It reported a 28% population increase since 2010. It's now home to over 92,000 people. Tell us a little bit about that growth. How would you characterize it?
So we are growing. If you've driven along Highway 50, you've seen it. That area, everything south of 50 is in my council district, so I'm out there every day. And I always ask people, where did you move from? And it's a combination of a lot of Bay Area, a lot of other places in the region. And we also have quite a few people who lived in Folsom already north of 50, and they relocated south of 50. And it may be because they wanted a bigger house or a smaller house. We have a fantastic 55 plus community in Folsom Ranch that is just beautiful, brand new schools. And so, for a host of reasons, but it's really kind of a mix. And we are doing everything we can to make that area look and feel like it has always been part of Folsom. You know, really high quality parks, and they have beautiful schools. We're adding trails all the time. Everything that Folsom is known for, we want to make sure that that is seamless, whether it's north or south of Highway 50.
And as you have more and more growth, tell us what the housing situation looks like. How are you dealing with things like affordable housing to ensure that everyone can actually afford a home?
Well, Folsom has been doing quite a good job of that for a couple of decades now. We have a housing trust fund that we help we use to help fund affordable housing projects. As you probably know, the state requires that we zone land for housing for all income levels, and so we do that. So, you know, in the new growth areas, you'll see a mix of single family homes, multifamily, townhomes, active adult living. So we pretty much have something for everybody.
Last month, our listeners might remember, we covered some of the controversy over Sacramento County's response to another problem that occurs in our region, homelessness. State Senator Angelique Ashby at the time had introduced a bill that would have created a new regional agency on homelessness and a different way of coordinating homelessness funding. Mayor, you told CAP Radio initially that you were blindsided by that proposal, but later supported the collaboration after further discussion. What ultimately changed your mind?
Well, I don't know if it changed my mind so much. We are always happy to collaborate with our neighbors. And we know that we don't want to just be shuffling people from community to community. We really have to get at the root of the problem and you know, help people the best that we can. I think the challenge is we don't really need state intervention to do that. There already is a meeting on the books between the County of Sacramento, the City of Sacramento, all the suburban cities for late October. There is a Sacramento Homeless Policy Council that exists already. And so I think part of it is we need to be able to have control of our own resources. That bill, as you said, you know, we were not notified. We were not contacted. The bill was introduced without any input from us. As it was originally drafted, our housing trust fund money that I spoke of earlier, that would have been now under the control of this new JPA, rather than the five elected officials in Folsom who are elected by the public. And that is just not acceptable to us. And so, again, we are always happy to collaborate. I think we do a pretty good job of it already. Folsom, you know, for the most part, has very little homeless. We have a homeless outreach team with our police department that does an absolutely fantastic job. And we also have some really terrific nonprofits. And to the extent that we can, of course, we want to connect people with services.
So I know the goal for that Senator Ashby has talked about is to sit down and talk with regional leaders. But if she decides to bring her proposal back at this point, can you say whether you'll support it?
It would be unlikely.
And that's because what you just talked about, the desire for independent control of decisions and funding in your community.
Yeah, regional collaboration cannot be at the expense of local control. We need to retain control over our housing funds, over where to build housing, over how we're going to provide homeless services. We need to retain control over all that. And the other jurisdictions want that too. I think there's a way that we can collaborate, but also maintain that local control.
Mayor, in our last minute or so, you know, obviously your community's been in the headlines for these layoffs that we talked about, but there's a lot more going on in Folsom. For folks that maybe are not as familiar as your community as you are, tell us one or two things that they might not know about the city that they should know.
Well, my favorite thing about Folsom is we are, we kind of have big city amenities. Folsom Lake College, the Harris Center, great shopping, great dining, a hospital, a zoo, great parks and trails, all those sorts of things. But we really try hard to maintain a small town feel. And so, for example, our police department will do vacation checks on your home when you're out of town. next year we'll have some sort of celebration to, you know, for the 80th birthday of the city. A couple of years ago, we celebrated the 100th birthday of the Rainbow Bridge. Every December, our police and fire personnel go around the city with Santa and Mrs. Claus, and they collect canned goods and toys for folks in need. So again, big city amenities, but a small town feel. I think we're also very, very diverse. And that's something that maybe people in the region don't realize about Folsom.
Well, Mayor Aquino, thanks for giving us a better understanding of your community. And thanks for joining us on Insight.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sarah Aquino is the mayor of Folsom and represents District 3. We've been talking about how the city of Folsom is growing and changing, especially after the computer chip maker Intel announced hundreds of layoffs last month. Up next, there's more shakeups in the race for California governor after Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounoulakis dropped out last week. We'll look at the potential implications for 2026. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Chris Nichols.